Hey, we're back and at full force. Got a great show. We talked about the election because that ain't over. I talked to the president. We'll tell you about that. Also, Congressman Stewart on why every congressman and every senator should not certify. And we talked to you. It's a great show. First of the year. Here it is.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I have to tell you, just to get off of some heavy stuff and tell you how great was Wonder Woman.
Oh, great. That doesn't sum it up.
I'm against guns. Yeah, your little bracelets are shields against bullets. Shut up.
Our bad guy looks vaguely like Donald Trump.
Oh, wow.
So bad.
It was really bad.
It was one of the worst movies.
Yeah.
That a lot of money was spent on in the history of movies.
Yeah.
Because I was not
interested in seeing it, but because of the big story where they gave it out for free on HBO Max, I already subscribed to it.
No, they should have to pay you $15 not to watch it.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That was my question.
Everybody who watched it should be paid $15.
Yeah. Wow.
So bad.
I watched it and I thought, what did this cost HBO? That's before I watched it. What did this cost HBO to do that kind of a deal? Then after I watched it, I went, what did that cost HBO?
Right.
Did they see it before they purchased it?
And the special effects were terrible.
Oh, really?
I think the special effects came from 1984.
It was bad.
The only thing that comes close on a scale of Wonder Woman, I think, is the fifth Indiana Jones. Right, Indiana Jones,
the Crystal Skull. Was that the fourth one or the fifth one?
Was that fourth?
Yeah,
maybe the fourth.
Yeah,
whatever it was.
Horrible though. Horrible.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this question: what are we being prepared for? Did you see this over the holiday? Avi Loeb, who is the chair of Harvard's Department of Astronomy, the chair.
Harvard's Department of Astronomy,
has said that we have already been visited by aliens, and we have also received the alien civilization's trash in 2017. Do you remember that cigar-shaped thing that he said?
Yeah.
There is
a cigar shaped thing from 2017.
It was up in the.
Appeared in a whole bunch of different cities. No. It wasn't the one.
Uma Amua. It was. It's Hawaiian. The name was dubbed Hawaiian because it was first seen in the observatories in Hawaii.
Okay.
And its name is Scout.
Okay.
And it was a giant cigar-shaped thing, remember? Mm-hmm. And it was coming towards the Earth, and then it went around the sun, but it didn't accelerate the way it's supposed to accelerate. You know, when it slingshots around the sun, it accelerated. It was like slowing down as it was going towards the sun and then accelerated in a different direction or something. It did stuff that it can't do. We've never seen anything like this. And he said that was some sort of space junk or space scout from Vega, which is 25 million light years away.
Huh.
Now
basically saying it's an alien craft of some sort.
Now here's the thing. I don't know if you saw in the stimulus package, they also said we have 180 days. The CIA, the Pentagon, everybody has 180 days to release all information on UFOs.
Oh, I hope that happens.
Oh, I do too.
I want that to happen.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what they think the deal is. Because I can't imagine exactly what the deal is. If there are, first of all, they must be benevolent, right? If they haven't slaughtered us by now. Because clearly they've got vastly superior technology.
And they, yeah. And they, I mean, superior. Can you imagine observing us?
This is the way we're talking about it. This is amazing. Yeah. It's like, well, they must be benevolent. I mean, we must, they must be.
But the other thing is,
but I wouldn't have said that 5 years ago. But look at what's been released in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. And like by reputable, not crazies, yes, right? Like legitimately reputable people currently
The Pentagon is even, you know, releasing interesting information that leads us to believe they think there's UFOs.
Doesn't lead us to believe. Yeah, they just said.
Yeah, they have.
They said unidentified flying object.
And that it is otherworldly.
Yeah.
And it is tracking our naval and air force maneuvers.
And it is legitimately the 500th craziest thing that's happened in the last year. We haven't even noticed it.
It is. Right. I know. Right. I know, it's nuts.
I haven't even noticed it.
I know.
I mean, we mentioned it, but like all of these stories should have been the biggest story for a month.
And you know what? A month? This is the biggest thing in the history of Earth. There are verifiable other beings from an other planet.
And like, look.
It's like the biggest discovery of all time.
And sometimes you have people, even that are incredibly reputable, that say things that don't turn out to be true. I mean, this happens.
This is over and over and over again from credible people,
though. It does seem, it does seem like they are preparing us for something.
It does.
I don't mean, like, the government seems to be rolling this out. Doesn't
yeah,
it? Like
in
it
drips
seems
and
like there's a little bit of a rollout plan. Like there's a little
get us used to it, yeah. And then all of a sudden, yep, here's our overlord.
Yeah,
here he is.
Glop, our overlord.
I know you guys don't like the Great Reset, but you should talk to him. He has 8 arms. I mean, it's okay. That's a little bizarre. And did you hear that over the holiday? The Fermi Lab, I think, has actually done the first teleportation. Verifiable, repeatable teleportation.
What? No. Of what? Of like an atom or
qubit.
Something? A qubit.
And they take...
Yeah,
this is quantum.
Quantum bits of information.
Right. And so they took a quantum bit of information... And they use the string theory where two strings are, you know, entangled. And so the information remained where it was. And some other laboratory long way away, they said there is no distance that is going to be a problem. And there is no degradation of the information. None.
So like they could do that to a digital.
It is. It's Wonka Vision. It's Wonka Vision.
But that's digital, right? Can they do it to a physical?
I don't know. They just say, no. It's right now. It's just information. But still,
that's still pretty cool.
That's
it's like, Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, that is to put this into perspective. This is Alexander Graham Bell saying, "Come. I need your help. Come, Watson, I need your help."
Mm-hmm.
That's just information that was transferred by wire from one room to another. That changed the world. This is the same thing, except it's in the quantum theory. It's quantum mechanics. We didn't even believe mechanics was the right answer.
Yeah, it's weird because like sending information... from one place to another doesn't sound so crazy.
Yeah,
like
we do
like
it all the time.
Email, right? Like it's a feel. And email is basically magic to me. I mean, I have no idea how any of it works. I press send, and all of a sudden, Pat receives it. Of course, he doesn't read it because Pat never reads an email. But in theory, he can read it.
Right. It has, but on email, the difference is it has a little jet sound.
Yeah.
So we know that it's some jet propulsion.
Right. Yes.
This doesn't make any noise when you send it.
No. And this doesn't have any, I mean, this is, there's nothing behind it. There's not going through any wire or even
build
air
an internet.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's nothing. It's just there. And now it's over here.
Wow.
What?
I mean.
And how are they doing that? Did they explain it at all?
Yes. Do you think I could explain it to you? No. I didn't understand their explanation. I was lucky to get to the qubit information and the string theory. That's as far as I can. I'm a cat when it comes to the string theory. I'm like, oh. So like that actual out. Strings, yeah. Or are we?
That's the thing with the two cans, right? The string theory.
Oh, golly. Thank you so much, Pat.
Pat Gray Unleashed, available on Blaze TV. New year. Subscribe to the YouTube page and the podcast and such.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
During the holiday, I spoke to the president and... Let's just say he didn't seem like he was in the best of moods. I talked to him about, you know, the next 4 years. He said, I'm not going to talk to anybody about the next 4 years. I'm in the next 8 weeks and I am not going to concede. He said, I won. I will not concede. He is determined to fight on, and he, I think, has good reason to fight on. There is a movement now in the House and in the Senate to get people to get the Senate, when they're voting for the election certification, to vote against. Now, the GOP is saying it's too late. It's too late. No, it's not. January 20th is too late. According to the Constitution, there is no other option than seat the president by January 20th. Has to be done. Until that time, I don't think it's... How is it bad for the Republic to actually go and look and actually have a detailed audit of this election? How is that bad for the Republic? I don't understand. Congressman Chris Stewart is one of the guys leading the movement in the House. Welcome, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Glenn. Good to be with you. Thank you.
So tell me the case. Make the case that this is not just, this is insanity, as Jake Tapper would say.
Well, Jake and others who are saying this is an assault on democracy, it's just nonsense. I mean, there are millions, tens of millions of Americans who look at this election and they have absolutely legitimate concerns regarding it. And how can we go forward and not try to answer those questions? We owe it to these Americans. We owe it to all Americans. Frankly, we owe it to the Biden administration. They shouldn't want to go into office with this cloud hanging over their head. They shouldn't want these questions to be out there. Virtually everyone is better served if we can assure everyone that this election has been free and fair and there's integrity in it. And honestly, Glenn, no one can say that at this point. Now, you can stick your head in the sand and say, well, I don't see any evidence of fraud or electoral misconduct, but you are sticking your head in the sand if you say that. There's clear evidence of it. Now, is there enough to overturn the election? We don't know. And that's the central question, and that is the thing that the American people deserve to know.
But, Chris, all the courts have heard all of this, and they've thrown everything out.
Yeah. So here's the thing on that. The courts actually haven't heard this evidence. In almost every instance, and in fact, in every instance that I know of, the courts have ruled on very narrow issues of the law. Did Pennsylvania, for example, violate their own constitution by the way they conducted their election? That's a technical question. And by the way, they almost certainly did. Questions of evidence. There are questions regarding, again, technical issues of the law. The only bodies who have actually been presented with evidence are the legislative bodies, the legislators in Pennsylvania and Arizona and Georgia. And you have dozens of them, many dozens of these legislators who have said, Congress, don't certify these electorals. There's enough misconduct that we don't believe you can, you are assured of the integrity of this election. The bodies who have actually seen the evidence, not the courts who have only issued on technical issues, the bodies who have actually seen the evidence have written to Congress and said, don't certify these electorals.
So what does it mean if the Republicans will stand together and not certify the election? What would happen then?
Well, and this is where I think people are going to be disappointed, because the way the process is right now, so if you have one member of Congress and one member of the Senate who questions these and they officially object, then the bodies go into their separate chambers, the House and the Senate. They debate it for 2 to 3 hours, and then they vote. Well, I'm pretty certain that Ms. Pelosi and her colleagues are not going to vote to decertify these electorals. I mean, it's going to lose in the House. It's almost assured that that's true. And I'm not optimistic in the Senate. So will it change the election? I mean, to be very honest with the American people who are listening here, it probably won't. Does it deserve to be heard? It absolutely does. That's what we're trying to do here, is to present this evidence, to present the case for the American people. And at the end of that, then I guess different congressmen and senators are going to have to vote their conscience, what they think is true. I've already told you how I'm going to vote, Glenn, and I hope that others will join with me.
How many minds are being changed? Is anybody that you're in Washington now, is this something that is really growing, has the opportunity to grow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Glenn, since you and I talked last week and in just the last few days, you've had, look, it's very difficult to know. And these news reports, you say it's 100 or 140. I mean, honestly, they don't know that. They can't know that. Even as a member of Congress, I don't know that. But what I do know is that there's incredible growth and momentum in the House. When I first started talking to members and, you know, my friends midweek last week and saying, hey, this is what I'm going to do, and here's the reason why. It has shifted dramatically from, well, you know, are you sure you want to do that? Or, well, maybe I could think about it, to, hey, I'm with you. I see it now. I believe the same thing you do, and I agree with you. And I think there's going to be a surprising number of members of the House who are going to stand up and say, we can't with honesty say to the American people, I certify that these electorals represent the will of the people. And I don't know what that number is, Glenn, but I think it's going to be meaningful. And I can promise you it's growing, not day by day. It's growing hour by hour.
Well, I would expect that if the audience starts, does this even matter anymore when you call your congressman or write or text, you know, or whatever? Does it matter anymore, Chris? What people
yeah,
do?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, and it gives us a sense of you know, what the body politic is thinking, what the people are thinking. A lot of people that will call, you know, they may get frustrated because they feel like, well, you know, I'm just one voice and it doesn't really matter. But when you take them together, if you get a sense that the people in the heartland, the people of America, and just regular working folks like, you know, that I represent and that I am and my family, if you get a sense that those people believe this and they believe it passionately and they believe it for reason, it can make a difference. And I tell you what, silence is the only other alternative, and that's not acceptable. I mean, to say nothing or to say, well, it won't matter if I call or I talk to my congressman. Well, again, the alternative is silence, not saying anything, and that's a far, far worse alternative.
Chris, tell me quickly what the Democrats have done to shut down Congress, to shut down the, you know, any kind of debate in the coming year.
I tell you, Speaker Pelosi, and these guys have just lost their minds on some of the stuff they've suggested in these rules that we're voting on today. The minority in Congress has very, very little voice, very little rights. It's not like the Senate where you have the filibuster and, you know, one senator or group of senators can really influence things. That's just not true in the House. It's 50% plus one vote, and you have all the power in the entire House. And so it's kind of technical and it's not very interesting, so I won't go into details, but there are what we call motion recommit and other procedural things that we can do that allow us to force a vote on pieces of legislation. And that rule has been in place, Glenn, for more than 100 years, uninterrupted for more than 100 years until today. And Speaker Pelosi is going to say, you know, you guys can pack sand. You're not going to be able to do it anymore. And it flies in the face of not just tradition and precedent. It flies in the face of common sense that she would say to, in such a closely divided house, it's not like she's got a 100-seat majority. For heaven's sake, she's got a 4 or 5-seat majority. And she's saying to those of us in the minority, we don't care what you think. We're going to take away any ability you have to affect legislation and amendments on the floor. Yeah, and these nauseous rules, such as saying you can't say father, mother, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. I mean, to think that the American people would hear that and say, so my congressman can't or congresswoman can't stand on the floor of the House and thank his mother and father or his brothers and sisters. He has to thank his parents and his siblings. Talk about political correctness to the point where you feel like people have lost their mind.
I hope to God you guys get up, every single one of you get up and give a speech about your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. I mean,
exactly.
Enough.
I can't wait to do it. How many times can I include mother, father, sister, brother, man, or woman in a sentence? I'm going to find out on the House floor. And it's going to be fun. And please censure me. And by the way, that's another rule, that they want to be able to file ethics complaints against us if we say something on social media that they disagree with. Well, people say, well, what difference does it make an ethics complaint? Well, what that means is you may spend $100,000 or $200,000 defending yourself against an ethics complaint. It's a bludgeon to beat you about the head with a threat of financial loss for things that we say. Stalin would love it. The East German Stasi would have loved these kind of rules. The shutdown debate, shut down your voice, make it financially a financial nightmare for you to be able to go speak.
That's are these rules? These rules are being voted on today. Is the GOP at least in lockstep against them?
Oh yeah, this is a no-brainer for us. In fact, that's why I was a little late jumping on, Glenn, as I was voting on the first of these. Yeah, I mean, we believe they're poison to any political debate, and they're just against common sense, and the American people know it. The American people aren't stupid. They hear those kind of rules and think, well, that sounds a little extreme to me.
Chris, I appreciate it. I urge you to call your congressman, call your senator, make sure that they are voting for a 10-day audit. That's all they're asking for. When you're asking them not to certify the results, this is all constitutional. The only thing that won't change is the new president has to be in office January 20th. The founders were smart enough to know they'll play games with it, and then you'll be a year before you have a president, you know, going through Congress and all this mess. So he must be seated by January 20th. For people to say, we don't have time to do... No, the more you delay, yeah, the less time you have. Get it done. Call your congressman and your senators today. Facebook, tweet, make sure you include them. Let them know how you want them to behave. I think just for the credibility of the vote, a hearing should happen. And if this doesn't happen, I urge the president to appoint a special counsel and have them do an investigation. It won't change the outcome. There's no way it can change the outcome after January 20th, but it needs to be exposed and cleaned up if there was any fraud. I don't like hearing from people who say, well, you know, it's not enough to change the election. So you're okay with fraud. Is this the amount of fraud? Is that what you're saying? Because I'm not.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
So I want to take your phone call, 888-727-BECK. I have said an awful lot today. If you missed any of it, go back and listen to the podcast. Or make sure you join us at Blaze TV, where you can watch on demand anytime and see the show and all kinds of other things available at blazetv.com/Glenn. You get some sort of a discount if you use the promo code Glenn. I don't know what it is, but I've been on vacation, man. I've been on vacation trying to enjoy it. Not really enjoying it until I put the phone and the iPad and everything away, because I kept getting news alerts and I'm like, oh, geez, well, I got to listen. What?
No.
Mm-mm.
Just put it away.
Just put it away.
Turning off the notifications from your devices is, it's almost like a drug. It's like it just puts you in that perfect soothed spot. Where like when you go on there to use it, you don't get 10 other distractions. That's a nice little recommendation. Because when you do that, it does feel good.
So I pick up the phone. It rings. I pick up the phone, I don't know, last Monday, Tuesday, something like that. Mr. Beck, yes, this is the White House operator. The president would like to speak to you. Is this a convenient time? And I wanted to say,
no.
Does anyone ever say no? Nope, it's really not a convenient time.
I'm on the crapper. Give me 15 minutes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think even if you're on the crapper, I think you might you just take it.
Why is there such an echo on your voice? Where are you
right now? So the president and I spoke about him. I told him how grateful this audience is for him, how he was the only guy who was standing up and did what he said he would do. He was not in a good mood. He was frustrated with McConnell. Total waste.
He's been pretty public about that one.
Yeah. 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 He mm-hmm. is, you know, he's like, if the GOP doesn't stand up, if they certify this election without anyone even looking into it, he's like, Glenn, everything was a technicality with courts. He said they didn't actually go in and listen to the evidence. Only the legislatures have listened to the evidence in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, and in Georgia. He said the House members in those states are calling and saying you can't certify this because they're the only ones that have actually been presented the true evidence. And it has to be looked into. And the problem is January 20th. January 20th is hard fast in the Constitution, and they were smart to do it because if that date and the directions of what happens on that date weren't in the Constitution, we probably wouldn't have had a George Bush administration. We probably wouldn't have had any Republicans in the last 30 years because all they had to do is challenge, challenge, challenge. But the Constitution says they shall be seated on January 20th. The president shall be, and it says lots of options. Have the people vote, but if that's in question, then it can go to the House and the Senate and they can vote. I mean, you guys have to figure it out. But January 20th, somebody is sitting in the White House as the president of the United States. So that's why they are asking now. And I urge you to reach out to your congressman and your senator. There is no way this is going to pass, but it should be lockstep. For all of the Republicans, there's nothing wrong with a 10-day audit. How is that not even considered? Why is that crazy? We know the president has to be seated by January 20th. And I said to the president, I feel for you. I don't accept these votes as being fair, but I don't know what else to do. And I said, we've got to fight for the next 4 years. And he said, I'm not willing to talk about the next 4 years. I'm worried about the next few weeks. And I said, okay. He said, the fight's not up. I mean, the guy is not done fighting. He said, I will not concede. Never will I concede.
Do you get the sense that he believe, and this, I'm asking you to read into this.
I don't know. So I know what you're going to ask.
Yeah. Does he believe he's going to be president on January 21st?
I think he is such a Norman Vincent Peale guy that, and so disciplined in that, mm-hmm. that, yeah, I think he believes that.
He's not willing to go. He's not willing to look at the worst case scenario.
No, not because that would. I mean, Norman Vincent Peale was the power of positive thinking. And once you put in the seed of doubt, that grows, and you know, then you're not of one mind. And if you're a real student of that, it's absolute, and that's Donald Trump. It's absolute. I don't think until January 19th, or January 20th at 8 a.m., he is going to.
He's going to keep pushing this.
He's just going to keep pushing until the very last second, and then he will not concede. I think he will leave.
Yeah, right.
But he won't. He's never going to say he lost because he doesn't believe it.
And he said honestly, that publicly. He's never going to say he lost. Yeah, I mean, he said that publicly.
Yeah. And I don't know why that's so crazy to the left. Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, hello.
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. I mean, you've got quite a record. Quite a record of saying that you didn't lose. So I'm just tired of the double standard here. And I will tell you, if the Republicans can't say, yes, it's very late, but this is constitutional. If they can't bring themselves to say 10 days, just an auditor, we all are very aware January 20th. We're very aware of that. There's no out. But until January 20th, yeah, let's do an audit. Because if those votes do exist, well, then we're probably going to seat Joe Biden, but we'd have another conversation. If those votes don't exist, well, then at least we can have the other half of the country say, well, they looked into it and, you know, it was open and it was transparent.
But to be honest here, that there's no way half the country that believes that there's fraud here is not going to go through a 10-day audit and say, well, I guess Joe Biden won. Like, that's not happening here. Right. Like there is both sides are convinced as to what is true and no one shall be moved. I think that is the absolute truth at this point. Already.
I have to tell you, I disagree.
You have way more faith in where we are than I do then, because I don't think anybody's moving off of this, no matter what. I think people made up their minds that night and will never be convinced otherwise.
Well, if that's the way people are, I mean, then there's no reason in discussing anything at any time with people.
Well, it's why.
If I could prove to you, for instance, I know you believe in God, and you know mm-hmm. I believe in God, but if I could prove to you, mm-hmm.
Right.
with real evidence and proof,
right.
that you would look at and accept as real evidence and credible, so I can't think of what it
exactly.
would be.
It's mythological situation.
Correct.
Here, right.
But if I could.
Right, of course. I would believe things that I believed were proved to me, right?
Right. You would only be a reasonable human being if you would say, well, let me think about that. Mm-hmm. Let me look at it, yep. really think about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're unwilling to look at the fact that this was stolen, or look at the fact that it wasn't stolen when real evidence is presented.
Yeah.
There's no point.
And I think with a lot of people now, that is true. There is no point. But that's not everybody. I mean, we've seen, you know, crazy conspiracy theories that were believed by wide numbers of people. And then that fade away over time, you know, going to, you know, for example, was it 2/3 of Democrats believed that, you know, 9/11 was an inside job because they didn't like George Bush. And over time, those numbers have cratered because it was really just a partisan reaction. And eventually, you know, people don't believe that anymore. They might still think he did a bad job, but they don't think he was responsible and it was an inside job.
Right. But on that one, there wasn't. Anything.
Yeah, no,
there wasn't anything.
Right.
It was steel doesn't melt. Shut up. How do you make it then? How do you make it? Do we dig giant steel beams out of the side of a mountain?
They actually grow on steel trees, but whatever. I just think that there's a certain amount of partisanship and tribalism that is going to lock in a lot of social media types to never look at the opposite side of it. I mean, look, it's our job to come in here every day and try to look at this stuff and figure out which ones of these stand up and which ones don't. We've told you on the air that there are parts of the election fraud theory that have not stood up. We've told you about
correct.
Them. we've also told you ones that have real questions.
Yes.
Right? So, yes. Like, I think that is, I think reasonable people do that. And it's why you go to trusted sources to try to sort this stuff out. It's just that I don't think that there is a likelihood of making a huge dent with an audit type of situation in 10 days. Everyone's just going to say the same thing they're saying now.
Right,
they've had months already to do this.
Here's the problem. I do believe, you know, I talked to Congressman Chris Stewart. He was on just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. He's sincere.
He's more optimistic than I would be.
And he's sincere. He's like, look, the American people have to just see the evidence. We just have to put it out. You can't cover stuff up. If it is, great. If it isn't, great. But we have to see it. And I really, truly believe that he would look at things and say, as would I, as would you, and say, OK, well, there's not enough here. There's not enough here. Or there is enough here for one way or the other. And we would honestly look at it. But the problem is that people don't trust people in power anymore to actually mean what they say and say what they mean. It doesn't matter.
No, it's true.
Forget about the American people won't change their mind. The system of the parties has no credibility because there's no one with an honest bone in their body that is leading these tribes. Who do you know would stand up and go, you know what? I was wrong on that. Until there's leadership that would actually say, you know what? They showed that to me. Look at what happened with Adam Schiff. They still are saying those things were true. Verified nonsense. That's the problem. That's why people are in these tribes and there's no moving them because they no longer trust the people in charge of the system.